Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We are broadcasting remote, so we would beg your indulgence on the first part of this show. A little later in the show, we're going to be joined by my good friend Colin Plume, who is the CEO of Noble Gold. And you hear a lot about Noble Gold on this network, mostly because I'm a happy and satisfied customer and I know the good work that they do. And it ties directly into what we're going to do today in terms of helping you understand what is coming. And what is coming is no longer coming. It's already here. And I want to speak to you for a moment here about our sponsors, and then we're going to get right into what is already here. We are indeed brought to you by Noble Gold, and all you have to do to know more, to diversify your assets, to jump in on the rising crest of gold and silver, as well as palladium, platinum, and other investments, you can get a hold of Noble Gold by going to DaveHodgesGold.com, and they will send you a free information packet. But you'll have to call them because they're trained not to be intrusive. Well, it's a great staff. It's the best organization I've ever dealt with, and that's Noble Gold. We are also brought to you by what you're going to need a lot of very shortly, and that is storable food. And I represent My Patriot Supply. They're number one in the nation for size, delivery, dependability, and price. They have great specials right now. They'll give you 25-year shelf life, lots of variety in the food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. It tastes good. And pretty soon, ladies and gentlemen, the only food that you're going to get is the food that's within your house. And that's pretty much true for your preps, because we always say food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Well, we can help you with the food and we can help you quickly. My Patriot Supply has lots of variety, great prices. Right now, here's what you do. You go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. And what you're going to do is order after you look at the specials that are there. Okay, please ignore the picture they have of me up there. Other than that, everything is first rate. Also, too, we have water filtration on sale, because if the grid goes down for any length of time, and hold on, before you say, oh, that's not going to happen, we've already had 9 grid downs in America in the last few weeks. You need to prepare to scavenge for water. We recommend everyone in your family have a water filtration system. There's a special in effect. It's the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. They also published their research so you can see conclusively they're number one for filtering out the bad stuff in your water. That's waterwithdave.com. And if we're going to suffer, shall we suffer in silence? No, we suffer in comfort. And the good people from Mike Lindell's organization, MyPillow.com, approached us and said, Dave, we can give your audience at least half off of everything that we sell. And in many cases, we'll give you more than half off. And I go, great deal. Where do we sign up? I'm a big, big fan of Mike Lindell. We already had all his products. He said, we can send you some samples. I go, sorry, my wife already has them. They are the best that there is, folks. And what you want to do is go to MyPillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges, to get these specials, and the little catalog will pop up and you'll be able to see what's there. That's mypillow.com/Hodges, coupon code Hodges. And that's who's sponsoring this show today. And we got a little bit of time to visit before we go talk to my good friend Colin Plume from Noble Gold. But I want to tell you about a meeting, and I published the meeting on it's either late December, early January. And it was a video that was leaked to me and other members of the media. And the video was a clip of a meeting between FDIC personnel and Federal Reserve. Now, FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, they're the ones that insure your money. And before I get into the story and talk about the context of what they said, let me please tell you that the FDIC is the biggest fraud in the federal government. They have exactly 1.2% of the cash on hand to cover your deposits. When the banks go down, you ain't getting jack, because in 2014, at a G20 meeting in Brisbane, Australia, they established the pecking order for refunds. And this was done for all G20 nations. Number one on the list, and really for all intents and purposes, the only ones that will see any money back, are the members of the credit swap derivative crowd that lost their butt in 2008 and 2009 during the Obama years. You will see nothing. Now, they might do bail-ins. They might say, well, you've got all your money in the bank, but you can only access $300 a month or whatever limit they put on. The reality is they can't cover what they have in their banks. And mostly it's because of fractional reserve banking. And what is that, you say? Well, when you submit a dollar to the bank, that money, you really need to understand this, that money can be duplicated nine times over. They can loan out nine for every dollar you have. What a Ponzi scheme. I mean, this is counterfeiting deluxe, but they made it legal, the Federal Reserve, and now the banks are in trouble. This added greatly to the debt. And if you ever wondered about the history of money, let me give you a brief history, and I'll tie all this together. In 1812, with a dollar being a dollar, go forward 101 years with normal ups and downs, but over a century later, a dollar was still worth a dollar. It would still buy the same amount of material. Today, that dollar from 1913, 109.5 years later, that dollar's worth 3 cents, courtesy of the Federal Reserve. Where did that 97 cents go? It went in their flipping pockets. That's where it went. So let's go to the meeting now that we got things in context. It's only about a minute 30 clip, and that's up on Twitter now. It's on my website. And you've got an FDIC official telling the Federal Reserve, no, we can't tell the public about this. Now, they were meeting on a Friday night late, hoping to escape media scrutiny. Oh, this makes sense, doesn't it? And they're saying, you don't have a right to know that the banks are in trouble. And if we told the people, they said, there would be a run on the banks. Well, of course there would be. And this is what they're trying to keep from you. Yeah, that's right. Now, let's go back and look at two more things. In 2010, a law was passed in the Obama administration that when you put your money in the bank, it technically belongs to them. You are now an unsecured creditor. Keyword, unsecured. Which means if the bank wants to keep your money, they could. You won't. Why don't they do it now? Because they want to keep you putting money in the bank. I mean, let's look at this. They pay you what? A fraction of a percent, right? For your interest. And what do they loan it back to you at? Okay, you get the idea. It's the biggest money-making machine in the world. Outside drugs, sex trafficking, porno. But it's huge. This is a lot of money here. So why would they cut off the gravy train? But if the bank was in trouble, they could just keep your money and pay off their assets. That means your retirement, your 401ks, everything. And you're going, holy crap, Batman, I didn't know this. Well, not only did that law take effect in 2010, in 2012, a federal court judge said, yeah, that's a constitutional law. And most people don't know this. They absolutely don't know it. Now, I have to give you a warning here. You can't just go jerk all your money out of the bank. First of all, if you have any sizable assets, they won't let you. Oh, you'll talk to every bank of, what are you doing? Are you buying drugs? We're going to have to tell the federal government. So then you start taking money out a little bit at a time. You got to be careful because you could be guilty of the crime called structuring, which means that if you take out $10,000, let's talk about the law of structuring. The federal government is notified by the bank you remove $10,000. And what that means is you go on some kind of watch list. They'll surveil you to make sure that you're not dealing drugs or pornography or whatever else. Okay, that's the law. Now, if you take out $9,999 in March and you do the same in April and May, bingo, they're going to come and seize your assets. They will basically put a lien on your house, your car, everything you own, because they're going to say you're guilty of structuring. You must be involved in organized crime because you're purposely trying to stay below the $10,000 a month report requirement that your bank has to make to the IRS. You go, oh, what a wicked, okay, you get the idea. Now, having said all that, they can't stop you from diversifying your money. Let's say you wanted to go out tomorrow and just for the sake of argument, pick a round number. You wanted to buy $10,000 worth of gold. It's none of their damn business. They can't stop you. Let's say that you wanted to put it into silver or you wanted to buy ranch land somewhere. They can't stop that either. So it's not about taking the cash out of your bank, although the experts are saying as unstable as we are right now, it'd be a good idea to have 4 to 6 months of cash on hand. That covers your monthly expenses, 4 to 6 months worth of that. But basically speaking, if you diversify your income, then you are protecting yourself against a catastrophic loss if the banks go down. So you can't let your banks have this. And by the way, if you have an IRA or 401k, you absolutely do not want the bank to have it. That's your retirement. And those will be the first things they seize. So you need to divest that. And you go, how do you do that? Well, we're going to talk to Colin Plume in a minute. But what you have here is something where you can go out and, like Noble Gold and a lot of other places do this too, they can transform your bank-controlled IRA or 401k and make it gold-backed and give it to you, and you control it. And gold has held its value for 6,000 years. So you're saying Noble Gold can do that? Oh, yeah, that's one of the things they do, and they do it very, very well. I would never have an IRA or a 401k controlled by a bank, ever, never. These people in the banks, they would sell their mother down the river to make a profit. You cannot trust them any farther than you can throw them. So what do you do? Well, it's pretty simple. You begin to diversify. Now, I'm going to give you the number. Actually, I won't give you a number. I'll give you a website to go get stuff sent to you from Noble Gold, DaveHodgesGold.com. And they explain a lot of this stuff to you. But I'm giving you the other side of things, that the laws totally come down on the side of the bank. And effectively, you have no rights. You got to be careful how you take your money out or you're going to prison. I mean, this just goes on and on and on about stacking up against you. They've made it legal, even though this is wholly unconstitutional and illegal. But again, we live under a lawless government that doesn't follow its own rules. And they live by the model, rules for thee, but not for me. Now, we're looking at Davos going on now, too, in an unrelated but very connected matter. The WEF is doing everything they can do to destroy nations. Now, the West and the United States are energy-producing nations, or I should say were. So what did they do? Climate change. We're all going to die in 12 years. Remember the hysterics of Ocasio-Cortez? Well, they sold you this fiction. And listen, do I think we can clean up the environment and make the air cleaner and the water more pure? Yeah, absolutely. And I'm for that. But that's not what this is about. This is a scam. Biden promised when he ran, when we go away from fossil burning fuels, as he called them, to clean energy, we'll have a transition period. Well, our transition period lasted one day when he signed the illegal executive order to kill the Keystone pipeline. There was no transition period. And what's happening is we took energy away from an energy nation on top of the lockdown from COVID. Oh, do you see a little plot here? Do you see some interconnections here? The whole thing was to strip the West of its national wealth in an attempt to move towards erasing national boundaries. Why? Because they want to run the world. They don't want national boundaries. And you, as an American, are their number one enemy. And you're saying, what do you mean? Well, okay, we have 400 million handguns. Previously, before Ukraine, we had the strongest military in the world. Okay, we had the second largest nuclear arsenal, submarine fleets, weapons in space. We had it all. We had a populace that was making lots of money under Trump. We were doing quite well, and they can't have that. They can't have a First Amendment, a Fifth Amendment, a Fourth Amendment, because they want a total brutal dictatorship like we see in China. And in fact, Klaus Schwab, Mr. Great Reset, you'll own nothing and love it. Remember that guy? He has said China is the model for the world. You will live under Chinese style rule, if not them directly, since they are tabbed to become the world policemen. And this is what they're leading towards. They want to collapse your system, and they've said it. It's not like I have to sit here and surmise this by connecting the dots, and maybe I'm wrong. No, they make it easy. They tell you. The national boundaries are a joke. This is why we have millions of people crossing our border. We're being deculturized. We're being bankrupt. We're having parental rights taken away through CRT and these other perverted programs involving sex in first graders. We have groomers in our elementary school. Need I say more? They're tearing apart our culture. This is a Maoist cultural revolution that's going on inside our country. First of all, how do you protect yourself? Well, let's start with natural resources, food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you need to diversify your income. You need to get into what groups like Noble Gold are doing. And I'm so glad that Colin Plume has come and he has agreed to talk to us, because this is where I have had them help me diversify. I recommend you do the same thing. If you have someone else, God bless you, more power to you. But do not keep all your money in the bank. Do not think you're going to be able to shop at the grocery store every week to get what you need. You're fooling yourself if you do. I think you're going to find this to be a very insightful interview with my good friend, Colin Plume, who I trust implicitly. Look at, I entrust him with what I've earned in life to diversify so they can't steal it from me. The Great Reset's coming. Digital currency's coming. You better be prepared. And Colin Plume's going to lay down the nuts and bolts. And the thing you'll like about him is I'll give you all the good and the bad. He's just going to tell you factually, this is what we can do for people. And this is why gold's good. And this is why this is good. This is why that's bad. Thanks for staying with us to the break, ladies and gentlemen. And as promised, we have Colin Plume on, and he is the CEO of Noble Gold. And we're going to talk about all things gold as promised. And after that little rendition that we had coming into this particular interview, you can take a deep breath and you'll be hearing from a civilized person, not a ranting, raving lunatic like myself. But I think you have to admit, I had some very good points in the previous segment. But Colin is a longtime acquaintance, and he does really good work. And I told him earlier that he holds the trump card, because he can tell you about all things gold, and he's in the gold business. And I will tell you one thing right now, there's very few places that you want to go that does not involve gold, because I am scared to death of the banks. And Colin, on that note, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2022 was a real testament to gold in that, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you look at the gold market, you go back, you know, since the early 80s, a lot of it had to either do with inflation or had, you know, the most recent bull run on gold was started in 2001. A lot of people thought it had to do with low interest rates. And so last year, you know, with interest rates being the highest they've been in a long time, gold held really firm and did really well comparatively to pretty much every other asset. Real estate was down anywhere from, you know, 10 to, you know, 20%, depending where you were. You know, S&P was down, you know, 10 to 20%. You know, most asset classes were pretty much down. Gold basically was up about 1.5% last year. So it was the perfect hedge, right? If you were looking to get out of the markets, you know, the year before and just kind of wait things out, you were ecstatic about your position in gold. And, you know, this year has really started off really strong, and it's up. Gold's up about 3% this year. So I think it's interesting, you know, whether we see heavy inflation, whether interest rates are low, it doesn't really matter that, you know, investors want to acquire gold, and you know, the big banks are doing the same thing. I mean, Bank of America, who's an unlikely ally to gold, has said gold's going to be really, really strong for the next 3 years until at least the end of 2026. And they're very bullish on the gold market. They've come out and said they think gold will hit $3,000 an ounce and things of this nature. So they just believe that there's still, you know, we're still in a recession. We're still going to be in a recession. And I think the big thing to think about is, you know, even if interest rates come down a bit, you know, that doesn't mean that the GDP is necessarily going to grow enough to get us out of a recession. And so those things are independent of each other. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk about how the stock market's going to react. It had a big bump kind of early this year, but how it will react through the whole year, sort of with everything that's happening out there in the markets. It's a little wonky, I would say, to say the least. So. But I think 2023 is starting off strong, and gold looks great.
Yeah, to me it looks great too. I mean, it's, if I'm not mistaken, and I think you alluded to this, it's past 1900 on its way to 2000, and there's no looking back. But let me share with you what I saw. I was sent an insider Twitter that was made from a secret video of a meeting with the FDIC and the Federal Reserve. Now, this has gone rampant, and I was probably one of maybe 50 people, 100 people that got this. And the FDIC person was there with the Federal Reserve person, and they had banker lawyers there because they alluded to them. And they said,
we can't tell people what's going on, referencing the banks, because they'll take money out of the bank. So no one that has a professional right to know or need to know can be told anything, so people will keep their money in the banks. That was in late November on a Friday night.
And if you look at, you know, the banks, I mean, you're seeing some of these, the rates that they're offering are unbelievable. I mean, I'm seeing like 4% in a bank, which, I mean, you know, those are huge numbers to store. We haven't seen putting money in a savings account making 4%. So I do think they're desperate for people holding in banks and not moving into different asset classes. And they, you know, they want people sitting in cash, obviously, because that's how they make money. Mm-hmm. But something interesting that I saw is I saw an interview with Jeffrey Gundlach, who's, you know, the bond king, and, you know, he was talking about the warning signs of the recession and talking about, you know, big indicator that he looks at is the 2-year treasury. If it drops below 4%, he thinks there'll be a radical shift in the Fed and sort of what they're talking about. But one of the other interesting things that he mentioned was this new acronym, which is anything but the United States, which has really become a strong line for investors right now in the equity markets, is that basically our markets are going to be dead for a while, and they're looking for emerging markets. So this gentleman, who's a bond, you know, king, basically made his fortune in bonds for years and years, is now saying, you know, he's investing in South America and India, Southeast Asia, because the demographics are strong, they're growing, and looking overseas as opposed to investing in U.S. equities. And I think that's become a real common sentiment right now. I mean, we're seeing, you know, so many companies in the U.S. laying off, having problems. You know, Google's been having problems. They're laying off a lot of staff. But overall in the U.S., there's just we're sort of stuck in the trenches right now, and big money is investing and moving overseas, and even from unlikely, you know, sources. Bond people that, you know, have made their fortune there are saying invest in equities and moving money into outside of the U.S., outside of U.S. companies, and that's not good, right? I mean, that's a telltale sign that we're going to be stuck, that the equity markets in the U.S. are going to struggle, and that we're going to have, you know, 1 to 3 years of tight markets in equities in the U.S. So these are things that people should be watching, because if these types of investors have lost faith in U.S. money, U.S. equities, U.S. businesses, that's a sign that a lot of the market's going to move in a different direction. That's not going to be good for U.S. equities.
How long do you think this trend will go on? Do you have any guesses?
Well, I think they lower interest rates substantially by the end of this year, because they're not going to want to go into next year this way. I think they're going to lower interest rates a lot. But I think it all comes down to GDP and job growth or sustainability. And I don't know what we're seeing. I mean, a lot of the big companies are very nervous, and they're not hiring. They're cutting their workforces. You know, jobs are moving in different directions. So I think we have a good 2 to 3 years of, you know, sort of a flat market where not really much good happens. I don't think we're going to boom out of this anytime soon. I mean, you know, you look at our debt at $31 trillion. I mean, we have some major problems, major ways that we need to reduce that debt, and yet nobody has a solution. You know, nobody's come up with a way for us to reduce it in any feasible way. And so now we have this, you know, our debt bubble is coming up in the next few months, and, you know, both houses have to get together, and they have to figure out a way to push our debt even farther. So, I mean, we're looking at $31 trillion right now. Could we get to 35 or 36 trillion by the end of the year? You know, likely. You know, it's a likely scenario. And so what that does is it pushes pressure on the U.S. dollar, and it puts other investments into the forefront. You know, and you saw, you know, even Russia and Iran are talking about coming out with a gold-backed cryptocurrency. which is so ironic because Russia has banned crypto for people living in Russia, but they're going to come out with their own crypto to trade with. But you know, the idea is they want to get something that would be more stable than the U.S. dollar. Obviously, their sanctions are a part of this formula of why they're doing it. But also, you know, they could trade in other currencies that they're accepting, but they want to have their own currency that would be backed by gold and would have less, hopefully less volatility because it's backed by something that has a limited supply. So that's something that they're working on, currency. And, you know, I think it's a currency it's going to be very interesting because if they legitimately back it by gold and they're not able to, you know, parlay that into millions of currencies and they're able to keep it steady, it could be something that could be more stable than some of the other currencies out there.
That's a real problem. If you were in the market, I know you in the S&P, you lost an average of 10% in the last year.
Yeah.
How did people do in gold again?
Gold was up about 2% last year. Silver, I mean, from last year to now, you're looking at about an 8% bump in silver. I think silver's just starting to catch fire. I mean, it's still below where a lot of people believe it should be in the, you know, the $24 range. I mean, the amount of industrial uses are really taking off. I mean, gold's really, you know, held really firm last year in a year where you lost between 7% and 9% in inflation. Even just to even if you just broke even last year, I think a lot of people were happy. And it did a little bit better than that. So and you look at the central banks buying. I mean, the consistency of the central banks buying gold last year was very strong. It was one of the biggest years. So you have these big hoarders of gold just, you know, socking it away. I like the price of gold. Another interesting thing that happened, I don't know if you saw this, Dave, but, you know, Zimbabwe has the highest inflation in the world, like between like 2 and 400% inflation. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they came out with a gold coin to try to encourage investors to keep their money in the country. And this gold coin sold out. It's selling at well over $2,100 an ounce, this coin.
Wow.
And they're releasing more because the demand is so high for this gold coin. People finally feel, you know, comfortable keeping their money there, and they think it'll help with inflation. So, you know, a lot of countries in the world are thinking, you know, having some gold back, leasing gold coins or using gold, having their citizens in gold is a lot better than having it in paper money. And you know, people ask me a lot, like, why do these central banks, why do they make gold coins? Why do they make gold bars? Why do they make silver bars? And it's like, the reason they do it is because it's a good way, besides the profit, it's a good way to keep people in your country in a safe investment. They're looking. It's a good way for them to have some of their assets in something that is not so volatile. So even though they don't openly condone it, the way that they condone the mutual fund market or equities, inherently they're doing that. The Royal Mint in the UK had their biggest year ever last year. Their sales were up over 25%. Last year in gold. So, you know, a lot of countries that were struggling, obviously the UK had a lot of problems, but their sale of this, you know, highly desirable asset was very strong. So it's interesting what they tell the public and then what they do. And that's why you see so many countries you know, offering gold and silver coins, and so many times they sell out, you know, pretty much immediately. I mean, the U.S. Mint can't even keep enough gold and silver. They sell out of everything that they get. So, and they sell at a massive premium. You know, the coins from the U.S. Mint are much more expensive than anything that you would buy from us. But, you know, people know that source and they buy from them. And you know, they're not really set up for big volume like we are. But yeah, they you know, those mints are you know, on fire. And I think it has to do with what's happening in the economy.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Is gold going to lead the way out of this economic downturn that we've had?
It's going to do that for the people that buy it. I mean, I think that's, I don't think everybody's going to be invested in gold. I think people are still going to be, looking at some of the other traditional investments. You and I have talked about this a lot about like houses, right? And, I think last year proved, and I think this year's going to prove, and I think next year's going to prove that your home is not, that's not your, that shouldn't be the thing you hang your hat on. You hang your hat on in terms of your investment portfolio. Yes, you can pull money out of it at some point. You can sell it and move to Guam, right? And anywhere you sell here in the U.S. and you go, Costa Rica, you're going to do okay. But if you're not going to do that move, you got to live somewhere. You're always, and at the end of the day, I don't know how you feel about this, but I want to die in this house that I live in. Like, I never want to leave my house. I finally got everything the way I want it. My coffee machine is always ready and coffee's flow. I don't want to leave this house. So to think of your house as an investment, I know it feels great when it's going up, but I think last year and I think this year and I think next year is sort of going to prove to people that you got to look at other things as your main investments, because you're going to need a place to live. And, unless you're willing to, move to, Wyoming or something that's really cheaper than most of the other country, you're going to be in that house for a long time. So it's good to diversify, good to look at, other assets right now. And so people are that have this kind of mindset are really sort of taking advantage of it. And I you and I talk about this too, like the equity markets. It's like, listen, if I'm not retiring in the next 5 years, am I putting money in equities? Of course, because I'm 45, I'm not going to retire for 20, 30 years, so I'm going to go up and down for a while. But if I'm retiring the next 5 years, I'm a little nervous. Nervous about that investment, right? It's just all about your horizon and your timeline. Now, there's some investors, Dave, that are like they're good at timing the market. So they got out of equities, a year and a half ago. They jumped into gold. They'll ride gold for 2 to 3 years, and then they'll get back into equities, right? They'll do it. They'll jump in and out. If you're that kind of investor, then obviously you're going to be more aggressive and you're going to do different things. But most people are hedging, buying different things, different investments, and then just protecting themselves for the long term. But everyone that's retiring this year that got some gold last year and got some money out of the equity markets is going to feel great. It's going to feel great. So,
well, that's good to hear, because people need a refuge. I wanted to go to silver just for a second because you brought silver up. Is silver ready to boom because it's the preferred mineral for the climate change technology?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's not enough silver. There's no way that they can keep up. I mean, they're really pushing these electric vehicles. They're really pushing solar panels. I mean, everyone's seen the cost of energy really skyrocket. And even though gas prices have come down, I think everybody, hitting gas prices in the, $5.50 to $7 range, depending on where you live, I think that scared people straight a little bit. It scared them to go, maybe I need to start looking at some different, and I'm not saying, because you and I talked about it, like if you want to drive far, like the system is not set up for electric, right? You couldn't drive across the country right now and feel great about it. But if you had a car that had gas and had the ability, you could do a little both, or maybe you have one car that's electric, because most people, they say right now, most people drive less than 20 miles in a day. So maybe you have one electric and then you got a gas car just in case, the system goes down or you want to drive farther. But I think that is the future where people are going. And, I love my gas cars, and I love the sound when they turn on and all those things. In the future, when gas is hitting $10, $11, $12, which it will hit, who can afford, who can really and realistically going to be able to afford that? If that happens in the next 7 to 10 years, who would be able to afford that gas? I don't think anyone would be able to afford it. And so then, you know, yes, I think that's silver is going to play a big part in the future. And you know, that's a big part of all those vehicles that are out on the road.
And why is the price of silver lagging so far behind?
Well, I think it has this perception of not being that rare still, even though, you know, you look at silver in 1983 hit $50 an ounce and it's half of that now. But people don't, if they really look at all the industrial uses, it is extremely rare. The recycling of it is coming around, but it's not as prevalent as some of the other metals that are out there because, you know, the cost is pretty high to recycle, where, you know, recycling, you know, gold or palladium, obviously, with the price where it is, it makes sense, right? So if you have gold in your cell phone and, you know, to get that gold out of there, there's some value there. It makes more sense to do it. So I just think it's one of those things that just hasn't caught up in terms of investment. Also, it is easily one of the most manipulated and also one of the metals that, because it's such a small market, you know, the big players can increase the margin calls and create a market for themselves. And, you know, Wall Street is classic for manipulating smaller markets, and they've been able to do it. And I think that they, you know, once it hits, you know, like once it hit 30 during the pandemic or 29.25, they really pushed it and got the price down. But eventually over time, now that inflation is really here, reporting more accurate numbers, not 100% accurate, but more accurate, I think silver above 20, I think it set that new floor. And then I think gold, could it go below 1900 a little bit, but I think gold is going to hit that 2000 number and hold. It hit 2070 in October of 2020. So I think it's going to create that new floor by the end of the year, and then I think silver stays above $2,000 an ounce. I think that's a new floor for that.
That's just amazing. What about the portability of gold? So people say, well, I'm kind of afraid of what's going on in the bank, and so I need to diversify, so I'm going to buy a lot of gold. How do people translate that back into wealth they could use as if it was cash? Can it be done?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, gold is the most liquid asset in the world. You can liquidate it anywhere. You know, there's no place in the world that they don't want gold. I mean, even what we were talking about earlier, think about Zimbabwe. Like, who would think? But you go to Zimbabwe, you know, they sold these gold coins just to see what, and you know, those are selling well above the spot price of gold. So obviously they know the value of gold, but that's just one of the places in the world. But every major country has a significant demand for gold. And even, you know, looking at, you know, the gold that most people are buying today is so much more pure and so much more valuable than any of the jewelry that anyone is buying, right? Because jewelry is anywhere from 14, 18 carats. Everything you're going to buy in the market is 24 carat, unless you're buying the American Eagle, which is 22 carat. But everything has a significant level of purity, so it's going to be desirable all over the world. Whereas, you know, some people say to me, like, should I just buy jewelry? And the problem with jewelry is, depending on where you sell it, you know, there's a significant cost to move that gold into something else. And that's why when people go to a pawn shop or they go to someone else, they're not really satisfied, because A, that market is not regulated, so they can offer you any price they want, and two, there is a cost to change it from that gold, you know, ring into something else, because it's not as pure as other items. Whereas the gold coins and the gold bars we sell have the highest purity, so they're always going to be in demand anywhere in the world, and that's proven true. I will tell you something interesting. I went and did an audit of our depository in Texas. You know, I go through three or four times a year, and I do a blind audit. So if you have metals stored there, I go in and I do 150 accounts every time, and then they just pull out. You know, my team sends me invoices, and I go to the depository, I go pull this out, and I count it. I count every ounce, every gram of gold and silver that's there. And it takes me about 2 days to do it.
Wow.
But this time, I got to see a coin that I've never seen before, and it's the Royal Canadian Mint. A while back,
made a 100-kilo gold coin, and I got to see it. It's the size of a tire. It's massive, just incredible. You know, they only made 6 of these, and so I got to see this. At the vault, some client, has storage there, and just unbelievable. This coin that I saw, just incredible out there. A $6 million gold coin. You don't see that every day. So
$6 million gold coin.
$6 million gold coin. Yeah.
Was it being guarded by a tank?
You would be impressed with the security in this facility. I mean, it's straight out of Tom Cruise in one of those Mission Impossible
movies. I was just thinking that. Lowering him with ropes, avoiding the laser beams. Yeah.
It's quite extraordinary. But it's great that I go and do this, because it's – and, what I do is I do the blind audit, and then I send an email to those clients and say, hey, I was there, and I checked your metals, and they're safe. And I always joke with the guys in the vault about, I always joke with them that there's a few extra gold coins in each one, which, they don't think is that funny. But I did that audit and just to, let clients know that I'm vested in their, their retirement and I'm checking too. I don't trust anything either, right? I want to make sure that everything is in right order. And I've done, in the almost 8 years I've owned this company, I don't even know how many audits I've done, and every time it's perfect. It's incredible. They've never been over or under on anything ever. So it's a pretty good system they got going on there.
Oh, that really is. That's just fantastic. I want to talk about asset distribution for a second, diversification. Gold is a great option, but generally speaking, how should people diversify their portfolio? I mean, if you're a fool if you make the 1929 mistake of keeping everything in the bank. So what do you tell people?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty heavy on silver right now. I would say, 5 to 10% silver, maybe about the same in gold, depending on, gold is always like how much if you like less volatility, then you want more gold than silver, right? So it just, that sort of depends. That's kind of where I'm at in terms of my portfolio. I also have, I have some rental properties. I have an Airbnb. I have some money in the stock market. And then, to be honest, I have a good amount in cash kind of waiting for opportunities this year. I probably will move it into something at this point. But I'm looking to see what's going to hit the market, maybe buy another business or, put something to work. I don't love a lot of the traditional investments all the time. I typically diversify and open businesses and do different things. But metals are, I would say, typically always between 15 or 20% of my personal portfolio. And I feel great there. But if things start to get haywire, I'm always ready to go a little bit more if, things get bad, and who knows what's going to happen this year. But I feel great about gold, and my goal will be, I think silver will hit $100 an ounce in the next 7 to 10 years, and I think gold will hit $5,000 an ounce. And those would be the places that maybe at some point I would shrink a little bit.
Wow. My portfolio. Can you say that again?
I think silver will break, $100 an ounce, and I think that gold will break $5,000 an ounce in the next, 7 to 10 years. And so those would be the places that maybe I would consider. But who knows where the economy is at that point? Maybe it makes sense to keep it in gold and silver. But I think those numbers are very realistic.
Do you realize what you're saying, though? You're talking about over a 2.5-fold increase in gold. Isn't that directly proportionate to the unhealthiness of the economy?
Yeah, absolutely. And the scarcity of gold. I think that's the beauty behind gold is it's just so rare. I mean, that's the thing that people always forget. As much as, people say it doesn't pay a dividend, I'm okay to not pay a dividend on an asset if it goes up, 5 to 10% a year. I don't care about a dividend because you can always sell it, right? And so that's what I look at. And just, you know, the liquidity options, right? If you, as much as I downplay, you know, people in their personal home, but like, for instance, if you're close to retirement, you have your house is paid off, you got some money in gold and silver, you dump your house, you move into a less expensive home, you put some money in your pocket, you know, because there's some tax advantages and ways to avoid paying on those gains. And then you got your gold kind of sitting there, and then you got some cash to play with. You know, that gives you the ultimate level of protection. And I think that's sort of what people are looking at right now. It's like, how do I get that next level of protection? How can I keep my cost of living the way it was and where it is? And so those are some of the things that I look at. And you know, our investors are conservative, right? I mean, you know, you have your people that want to make, they want their 20x return or their 50x, and they, you know, they gamble and they do that stuff. But I think most people, they're not looking to retire on a yacht. They just want to be able to, you know, go on a vacation or two a year, spend time with their grandkids, and, you know, just relax and enjoy and garden and enjoy their life. And so for investors that are looking for that, you know, having that safety play in gold and silver, I think makes a lot of sense, you know, right now.
No, it really does. I got to ask a really bad question, though, because people will ask me this if I don't ask you. Roosevelt seized the gold in the Depression. Do you think there's any danger of that happening in the present time?
I mean, there's always a danger of that if the dollar does eventually collapse. I mean, that's sort of what was happening during the Great Depression and before. They, you know, we had a crisis, we had a bank crisis, right? And that's what would happen if the dollar eventually collapsed. You'd have a complete crisis in the banks, and, you know, that's why they stopped using gold in currencies, because they needed to print more money and they wanted to stimulate the economy, and they, you know, I think they needed to do some things at that time to give people confidence. And we wouldn't have been able to expand the money supply if everything was backed by gold at that point. So, but if we get to a point now where we lose confidence in the banks, them, you know, trying to get some of the gold back at some point, I think they would do it in a way where they would sort of did it in the way they did it in the 1930s, where they offered a certain amount, and then within a few years they. You know, the value of gold substantially went up. I mean, they offered, can't remember the exact price, somewhere in the $20 range. And then as soon as they changed the money supply, gold went up to $30 or $32 an ounce. So all those people that sold in the low 20s really missed out on a big opportunity. Now, there's people that didn't sell and they kept those coins, and those coins are people sell those today. Those are rare coins. You know, the pre-1933 St. Gaudens and Indian Heads. So, you know, not everybody sold them and took the bait. But I think if the dollar falls apart, they'll have to figure out a way to make the next currency strong. And I think they'll try to go after gold, but it'll be tough. You know, most of the gold in the U.S. is in private depositories or in people's homes. And I think people are much more savvy today. I mean, there's more research that can be done, and I don't think they're gonna hand over that gold too easily. So
I don't either. And the other thing I think that's a disinhibitor to that is, unlike the 1930s, we have a lot of banks and other financial institutions that are holding large amounts of gold.
True. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Bank of America being one. Yeah. Gold's a tier one asset now. So, you know, there is that, you know, element where they're sort of vested in that interest as well. I am surprised that the U.S. Mint hasn't really seized on the amazing opportunities in the gold market like other countries. I mean, the Royal Canadian Mint, the Royal Mint, the British Mint, the Australian Mint, I mean, they've been pumping out coins the last 5 to 10 years, really have created markets. The U.S. Mint has sort of kind of fallen behind, especially the last 2 years. They've really struggled for a number of reasons. But yeah, it is interesting when you have these markets of opportunity for profit for the government, and they sort of, you know, miss out on that growth. But I guess that's why they're government-run agencies.
Yeah, exactly. Not enough said. Okay, I'm going to let that pass in the interest of politeness. But I think you made a pretty good case. And by the way, by way of honest disclosure, I've been a customer. I started advertising for Noble Gold several years ago, and I became a customer shortly after because I saw the good work that they did. And so I always, when I have Colin on to talk about these trends, I say, please tell people about Noble Gold because I'm one of the success stories. And I would be hopelessly not diversified if I had not done this. So how do people find out more? I know we have a site for you, DaveHodgesGold.com. How else can people contact you?
Yeah, they could go to that site or they can call at 877-646-5347. We do have a great promotion for any IRAs or purchases above $50,000. They're going to get a quarter ounce gold American Eagle, which is a very desirable coin. I think in terms of mint coin mintage, is probably one of the most sought after coins in the world. So that is a free coin, but you have to mention that you heard about us on the Dave Hodges show to qualify. So make sure you do mention that if you call in.
Okay, yeah, just go to DaveHodgesGold.com then if you do that.
Yeah.
Because people will know right there. But Colin, I do appreciate you coming on because we are in dire times right now. A lot of confusion about what's going to happen. But there are some tried and true methods about what's going to happen. And, before we go, there's one other thing that we didn't cover and we should have. I'm worried about retirements for people, and mm-hmm. Janet Yellen's made overtures about what she said, custodial protective accounts. Then she wants to tax unrealized income, which is nonsense. All these things lead to instability, and people are fearful of their retirement. You alluded to that, too. You have the ability in what you guys do at Noble Gold to gold back your retirement vehicles so they're not subject to the whims of the bank. Is that right?
Yeah, and also with that, because it is in gold, it's real gold that you own, segregated accounts, at any time you can take possession. Now, if you take it before the age of 59 and a half, they do have, there's some taxes and penalties. But, that being said, if gold, shooting up to $4,000 an ounce, maybe you don't care, right? You call, and people have done it. People have called us and said, hey, let's I don't like what's happening out there. Have the gold shipped to me, and they deal with the taxes, later. It is one of the great things is that you can actually get the gold that you purchased sent to you. Unlike, if you look at GLD or SLV, these stocks, they always say that you could eventually get it, but you're standing in line, right, with all the big funds, and you're not going to get your gold before the funds. So, if there's a run on gold with GLD, I highly doubt you're going to get your gold before, BlackRock or some, institution that's investing. I mean, I'd love to say that they're an honest company, and I don't know them. They could be fine, but I do think that there's a pecking order with these things, and that pecking order is, for a regular investor, is that you're just not going to be in the front of the line. So, with us, you don't have to worry about that, and that's what I was saying earlier. I go and audit the accounts, and every ounce that you buy is there if you're storing at the depository. And if you need it and you want it, you can get it. And at retirement, when you do your RMDs, you can get it. That's the great thing about being gold. Or if you need cash, you can get cash, right? So either way, we're there. We stay on the account for the life of the account, and we don't make any money. If you call us 10 years from now and you have a question, we don't make any money. We don't charge a management fee or anything to that extent. So we're just there to service the account. So it is gold. You own it, and you can put it in your IRA. If you have an old 401k, you can roll it into physical gold also.
Yeah, that sounds like such a good idea, because if the bank fails and your retirement is associated with that, you're in trouble. And the other thing, I don't know if we've ever talked about this before, but there was a law passed in 2010 upheld by the courts that if the banks really want to take what you have in their bank, they can do it legally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm aware of that. Yeah, that's a scary law. I think that's why a lot of people don't want to store in a safety deposit box, because of that very specific law. And that's why we offer private storage. I mean, we have storage in Texas, we have storage in Delaware, they can store in Canada with us. So any of those places, we, you know, we can do private storage for a client.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, this is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, because I don't want people to be victim of the banks. Because when this meeting came out, I published this video that came out of that meeting between the FDIC and the Federal Reserve. And that people need to hear, they don't want to tell you that things are bad. And don't trust the banks. You know, precious metals is where it's at. And Colin, I really thank you for coming on. Again, go to DaveHodgesGold.com to find out more and get free stuff sent to you. And then you'll have to call them, because, Colin, I'll say this for you. You've trained your people not to be pests, not to be over-aggressive. And so I know from experience that when I look at some of the stuff you guys put out, I'm the one that has to call and initiate the contact, and I'm the one that has to close the deal, because yep. They'll say, okay, Mr. Hodges, do you have any more questions? No, I want to do this. Oh, okay, here's what we got to do. I mean, that's been my typical experience. So
no, yeah, that's the way we always do it, because we want people to feel good about it and buy when they're ready. You know?
Exactly. So. That's what I really respect about you guys. Well, Colin, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to consider not trusting your bank, and I'm being very serious. Thanks, Colin. We'll look forward to talking to you again. God bless.
Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.